Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're joined by Dr. Terrell Strayhorn, President and CEO of Do Good Work Educational Consulting, that provides strategic planning, enrollment, retention solutions, and research technical assistance to schools, colleges, and businesses across the nation. Dr. Strayhorn is also professor of urban education at Lemoyne Owen College and faculty affiliate with several research institutes, including the Rutgers Center for Minority Serving Institutions. Dr. Strayhorn, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Thanks so much, Eric. Good morning to you.
And good morning, and trust all is well in spite of all that's going on. So tell us, for starters, your company's mission is to conduct and harness the power of academic research to identify and share proven solutions, promising practices, and transformative innovations to driving student success. How many clients or institutions do you work with each year, and what specific services do you provide?
Okay, thanks. That's right. Our mission is to conduct and harness the power of research and trying to generate and use academic research to identify, implement, and disseminate evidence-based solutions to student success problems that many colleges and schools face, especially in today's times. Typically, we work with anywhere from 24, 25 or more colleges and schools each year, and these tend to be the leading institutions in our nation, the largest school districts, the largest colleges and universities, both for-profit and non-for-profit. Most of these educate really large numbers of students. So while we're partnering with, say, 20 or 30 institutions over the course of 54 weeks in a year, we're impacting hundreds of thousands of students and staff and family annually. In terms of the services we provide, we have a number of offerings. We like to say that we help colleges and schools support students, period. So we do that through conducting and developing campus climate studies and surveys. We've done some work with universities like Colgate, who have really made sense of belonging and student inclusion part of their strategic plan. We offer faculty and staff trainings, how to work with the Generation Z in the classroom, or how to promote or boost student sense of belonging as a strategy for student success. We've partnered with some of these schools to really consult with them on campus marketing and how do you connect with students in meaningful ways about their human experiences in college. So I like to talk about Amherst College that has created a sense of belonging campaign online. There's a wonderful website there that really features some of the research and work that comes out of this for us. And then I think we also try to, as I said earlier, harness the power of academic research, use research and evidence-based practices to help institutions really move the needle for student success. And we do that by really offering train the trainer, web modules, webinars. We work on research of our own and assessment and try to get those reports and that information out in the hands of administrators and faculty.
Certainly phenomenal what you're doing in the space, and really appreciate your taking a moment to be with us here today. Now, one of your areas of expertise is student success, but more generally human flourishing and belonging in living or learning context. What does your research say about belonging, and why is that important?
You know, several years ago, I was conducting research on student success and achievement, trying to understand the factors and conditions that really support students, especially diverse learners, first-generation, low-income, ethnic minority, LGBTQIA students, to college and through completion of their degree. And as I was understanding the importance of time on task and, academic skills, studying and tutoring, the kinds of financial aid that students have, I kept stumbling across this refrain in my qualitative interviews with students, as well as this finding in all the large-scale survey data I was doing, and that is underscoring the importance of people and relationships, especially supportive relationships from mentors and faculty and staff. And so back in like 2010 or 11, I put all that work together and wrote a book called College Student Sense of Belonging, A Key to Educational Success for All Students. That book has moved now to a second edition. And what I found is this, that sense of belonging is a basic human need. It's not unique to students. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to feel connected and cared about. It's a fundamental motive, Eric. You know, you and I do things to fit in, to find that sense of community and connection. You know, I'm located in Nashville, Tennessee, as a quick aside, and we just suffered, you know, the deadly tornadoes and everyone being impacted by the spread of the coronavirus right now. But I can tell you in my neighborhood, you know, there's a strong sense of affect for other people and caring and sharing and volunteerism moving through now to help people, you know, recover from the tornadoes and put their lives back together. And I can tell you that, you know, as I connect with my neighbors and watch what the community is doing, there is this sense of place and connection and mattering that tracks on to my research on sense of belonging. It reflects the extent to which individuals feel accepted and valued, and like they're able to assume a meaningful or respectable role in a group. And that group in most of my research is typically the college, you know, context, school, classroom, or workplace. I think sense of belonging is important because it really acts as a gatekeeper to higher order goals and motivations that individuals seek. So if you think back to the early psychological work of Abraham Maslow, he said that we all have this sort of hierarchy of needs, and this in the middle of that hierarchy that many people will be familiar with, that triangle image, is our love and belongingness needs. But right above it are our self-esteem and self-acceptance needs. And above that are our creativity and innovation and integrity and happiness needs. So said differently, sense of belonging is really important in my work because it tracks on to student success. Students who feel a sense of belonging do better. They have higher attendance rates in schools and colleges. They have higher grades and higher retention rates, higher academic goals and motivations. In the workplace, it's important because staff members who feel a sense of belonging come to work. You know, they're way more productive. They're less likely to take off or to use sick days. They're less likely to turn over, leave the organization and the institution. So I think if we want to produce students and staff who are you know, who thrive and flourish, who are creative and self-actualized, one way to do it is by promoting and meeting or supplying their sense of belonging.
Certainly do appreciate your insight and all these details. Most appreciated today. We're joined by Dr. Terrell Strayhorn, President and CEO of Do Good Work Educational Consulting, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Dr. Strayhorn, your recent article highlights the important role that belonging plays in today's workplace. What's your advice to chief executives tuning in, HR professionals, and others about how to foster belonging for staff, and how does this relate to your own leadership?
Wow, that's a great question. So, yeah, my research on sense of belonging in education settings, colleges and schools, has really grown now to look at sense of belonging in modern day workplaces and the work environment, partly because I would go to all of these schools and all of these colleges and universities, Erickson, and talk about sense of belonging and talk about how we need to you know, build high touch learning environments where students connect with faculty and staff who care about their success. We need to make sure that our policies support and encourage faculty and staff to create relationships with students, to care deeply about them and their success, to offer their advice through tutoring and office hours and other forms of assistance. And inevitably, at the end of my, you know, keynotes and lectures and trainings, faculty and staff would raise their hand and say, okay, that's really important. I get it. Sense of belonging matters for students, but it also matters for me. And, you know, I would nod my head in agreement, but had very little research on the topic to really speak authoritatively to it. But now I took that as a sort of cue to really start collecting more data from teachers and student affairs professionals at colleges and universities. And what I found is that sense of belonging matters at work, too. I mean, look, at some point in all of our lives, we've all had that feeling where we felt out of place, unwanted, or as if we didn't belong. You know, it might be at a place of worship. It could be at a professional conference. It might even be at like a family reunion with distant cousins where we really struggle to find anything in common and make small talk. So I think when people are faced with I know from my research that when people are faced with these types of isolating, unsettling feelings, we typically try to avoid them. We're wired to avoid such feelings. And so we pick up, we leave. When this happens at a restaurant, we just get up and leave. We never return. When this happens at the family reunion, we might get up and leave and never return. But, you know, I think it's important to ask HR professionals and chief executives and those who lead organizations to think about it. What if this place where you felt like you didn't belong is a place that you had to be for 7 to 9 hours a day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on the weekends and sometimes in the summer? This is the experience of students and staff all across the country. When students and staff don't feel a sense of belonging in school or at work, they are, you know, motivated to leave but have to stay. So in that sort of betwixt and between condition, a lot of them feel emotionally and psychologically isolated. They disengage. And I think the single most important resource for any college or company is its people. So therefore, for those of us who lead these organizations, we have to understand that belonging should be at the heart of any of our human capital strategies. We've got to put people back in the center. I was just doing a webinar the other day about putting the customer back in the center of the customer experience. I think as HR professionals and chief executives, we've got to put staff and people back in the center of the organization and our decision making. So when employees feel like they don't belong at work, their performance and their personal lives suffer. That's been shown time and time again in my research. And the truth is, when they feel like they don't belong at work, they stay in bed, they call in sick, they dread coming in, they, you know, come in late, leave early, or stop coming altogether. And I think these are the negative consequences of social isolation or feeling unfulfilled at work. But when we do our work, and that is we establish staff appreciation programs, we implement and develop voice of employee initiatives where employees are sitting at the table, almost like a market research focus group, when executives are making decisions to understand how these decisions might impact their productivity and their line of work. What we're really doing is not only doing best practices in terms of organizational management, we're also affirming for the staff members that they matter, their voices matter, that they have a seat at the table. And that leads to, you know, 75% fewer sick days among employees, that there's a 50% lower turnover rate. There's a 56% increase in job performance and all sorts of benefits when we really take steps to foster belonging in the workplace.
You certainly made some great points right there and some good food for thought as well. Now, as we mentioned, you're a professor, public intellectual, writer, and entrepreneur. What we hear from CEOs, it is a mix of ups and downs, successes and failures. What hurdles have you faced and how did you overcome those? I'm sure we could learn a little something from your input there.
Absolutely. So to be sure, you know, you're expected to wear multiple hats and juggle a lot of different roles when you're leading an organization. I'm an active professor, active researcher. And I joke sometimes and say that CEO doesn't stand for chief executive officer only for me. It's also being the chief encouragement officer some days, the chief empowerment officer on others, and the chief engaging officer, because you're often called to engage and build strategic partnerships and connections with people. Of course, wearing so many hats and managing multiple roles, trying to do it all in just 24 hours a day or 7 days a week, you're destined to face some challenges. So I say that my hurdles have been for, you know, the course of my career, my age or my relative youth. I think people sometimes see me and how I show up in the world and assume I have less experience and less good ideas than I do. So I have to sort of work to come into the room, sit at the table, bring my A game at all times. Of course, while that's good practice for all, you know, leaders and staff members, there is a sort of mental energy that's expended. It reduces your bandwidth and it takes energy and time to really always sort of be fighting an uphill battle in that way. But I've done it by really making sure that I I prepare for meetings. I come in with good ideas, and I take the work very seriously. I think it's also difficult with so many different roles finding balance. And one thing I've done is a few years ago, I gave up on the whole pursuit of true balance. I don't think that success in this kind of work is going to be found by putting 4 hours into my writing and 4 hours into the company and 4 hours into my speaking, but rather I strive to find a sense of balance where there are days I put a lot more time into one activity than the other, but overall, you know, there aren't many balls that are dropped. I don't miss deadlines. I meet and connect with clients in a timely fashion, and I do that partly because I have such an amazing team that helps me through this. And the challenges that come from sort of just sharing strong perspectives or thoughts in the court of public opinion, so to speak. I mean, not everyone's going to agree with my ideas. Not everyone will think that sense of belonging is so powerfully connected to profitability and student success. And they may find, you know, your thoughts in keeping, not in keeping with their own practices and ideas. And so I think the way I deal with that and have dealt with that over time is just continuing to put forth my ideas, backing it by the research and the evidence that we generate, being prepared for some resistance and pushback and trying to anticipate those questions, but most importantly, really focusing on where I began, and that is putting people, staff, students at the center of the work. That's what we do here at Do Good Work.
Dr. Strayhorn, such a pleasure to have you with us today. And again, we certainly appreciate what you do in this space through Do Good Work Educational Consulting. I'm sure listeners want to know where they can get further details online and how they could also get more information on yourself. Where's the best place online to do so?
Great question. We have a wonderful website. Just go to www.dogoodworkllc.org, and there you can find information about our mission and any upcoming projects and events. We are also on all social media platforms. It's at Do Good Work on Instagram and Twitter, and I am at TL Strayhorn on those same platforms.
You certainly got the bases covered very well. Again, Dr. Strayhorn, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
All the best. Thanks so much, Eric.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Dr. Terrell Strayhorn, President and CEO of Do Good Work Educational Consulting, that provides strategic planning, enrollment, retention solutions, and research technical assistance to schools, colleges, and businesses across the nation. And for further details, visit dogoodworkllc.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.